This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, May 16th. Well, yesterday in the wheat space, fairly strong day. Kansas City opening strong on the day session, putting in the high for the day and taking out Friday's strong performance as well. We didn't close all that well. The market ended up pulling back just slightly throughout the day and coming into just a quiet type of trading range. We ended up the market closing right at Friday's high. So it's, you know, when you see formations like that, you take out a significant high or a low, then the market comes back and closes right at that high or low. It shows that the market's struggling to maintain that upward momentum. Still, we were strongly higher for the day. It's not like the market fell apart. You know, we were still up 20 some cents in Kansas City. But when you look at the overall trading pattern, it does show a market that seems to be struggling to maintain that strong momentum. The other thing that we're watching is the spread between Kansas City and Chicago. Started out yesterday, KC leading the way higher, you know, gaining another 8-10 cents on that spread. And then as the market started to calm down and pull back a little bit, we actually saw that spread start to lose to Chicago. So at the end of the day, Chicago was up about 25, Kansas City was up 21. So that spread actually put in a new high for the move, but reversed down. So those are things we're keeping a close eye on because these spreads are at all-time highs. They've just soared over the last couple weeks, which normally would suggest that you're kind of, you know, in your capitulation type of price action. But yesterday was the first time in several sessions that we saw Kansas City losing to Chicago. So that's a red flag right there. The other red flag is just the, you know, the price action itself. We're back up to those swing highs from the last 6 months that have held this market and held it here just a month ago when the market fell apart and lost over a dollar just in the span of a couple weeks. We got all of that back plus some, but again, the market really is struggling at those highs. On the front month July in Kansas City, we've taken them out barely, but we've not been able to close above those previous swing highs. In the back months, we have, you know, we're back up to those highs, but we haven't been able to take them out. And of course, in Chicago, we're not even close to those swing highs from the previous several months. So, you know, Chicago's just in a much weaker position. It never had that kind of upward momentum, which is why the spread surged the way it did. Fundamentals in soft red winter wheat are much better. They're in much better shape, the crop is, than in hard red winter wheat country. And in spring wheat country, kind of a mixed bag there too. Minneapolis has performed better than Chicago, but it's not back up to its swing highs from the previous several months either. In the northern plains and into the Canadian prairies, we're late plantings. Number two, we've got dryness across much of the Canadian prairies, which is starting to get a little bit more buzz in the marketplace. But here in the northern plains of the United States, we've had some pretty decent rains across much of the northern plains. And in fact, North Dakota is in much better shape than even the rest of the northern plains. So we have quite a mix of weather conditions across spring wheat country in the northern plains and Canadian prairies. So I think Minneapolis kind of caught in the middle. There is some concern still that you're going to have yet more planting delays because of the rains in North Dakota. You might start to see some prevent plant acres starting to come into the mix here fairly soon. I think there's more concern about corn acres getting planted there than there is spring wheat. But still, as you get later and later into the month, you start to look at the possibility that farmers will just take prevent plant and call it good. So we could be losing some acres across North Dakota. It's just a matter of waiting these next couple weeks to see how that pans out. Corn price action yesterday, we came back and tested last week's high, could not take it out, and the market kind of pulled back, still closing higher, but well off the highs of the day. In soybeans, kind of just the opposite. We tested last week's low, and then the market reversed back up. So, you know, in soybeans, we're in the process of forming a double bottom on the front month, July's anyway. The back months, we've taken out that high from mid-March, where the July is holding that low, the back months have taken that out. So, you know, we're looking at very good planting conditions across the Midwest. We're looking at, soybeans getting in way ahead of schedule. Corn is ahead of schedule. You know, just 3 weeks ago, we were worried about getting the crop in. It was going to be late. And all of a sudden, you know, the skies open up and planting conditions are near ideal across much of the Midwest. So let's take a look at the crop progress reports. Corn plantings are at 65% complete. It's up 16 points over last week, and it's 6 ahead of the average. In soybean plantings, we're sitting at 49% complete. That's up 14 on the week, 13 points ahead of the average. In spring wheat, we're 40% complete. That's 16 points above last week, but it's still 17 points behind the average. North Dakota's at 20% planted for spring wheat, up 10 from last week, down 26 from the average. Montana's at 54% planted on the week. That's up 22 over last week, down 7 from the average. Minnesota, 28% planted. That's up 21 over last week, but it's still down 26 from the average. In crop condition ratings for winter wheat, in Texas, we're at 52% poor to very poor. That's down 4 on the week. 20% good to excellent is unchanged. We're 84% headed, which is down 3 from the average. In Oklahoma, 51% poor to very poor. That's down 13 from last week. And good to excellent is at 11%. That's up 4 on the week. They are also at 84% headed, which is running 2% behind the average. In Kansas, 68% poor to very poor is unchanged on the week. 10% good to excellent is down 1. And they are at 54% headed, which is up 5 on the week. Nebraska's at 49% poor to very poor. That's down 2. 17% good to excellent is up 5. We're 2% headed, down 3 from the average. Colorado's at 41% poor to very poor. That's down 6. Good to excellent is at 26%. That's up 4. They're 5% headed, which is down 5 from the average. South Dakota sitting at 20% poor to very poor. That's up 3. 23% good to excellent is up 5. Montana's at 2% poor to very poor. That's unchanged. 48% good, which is down 6 from last week. So just to give some kind of an update on where we are, the further north you go, the better the crop conditions are. Montana looking pretty nice as far as winter wheat goes. Again, the northern plains have had decent rains. It's spotty, but for the most part, things look okay at this point. And again, North Dakota getting a pretty good shot of rain here recently with more on the way is just going to add to the delay. So let's take a quick look at where the Midwest is as far as moisture conditions go. The key states for Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, and Kansas, topsoil in Iowa's rated 17% short to very short, 83% adequate to surplus. Illinois is only 8% short, 92% adequate to surplus. Minnesota 7% short. Missouri 40% short and only 60% to adequate to surplus. Kansas 65% short to very short, 35% adequate to surplus. And of course, most of that's going to be surplus is going to be in eastern Kansas. But it's worth noting that Missouri is 40% short to very short as far as topsoil moisture. In subsoil, not quite as rosy. Iowa sitting at 29% short to very short, so they're 71% adequate to surplus. Illinois 11% short very short, Minnesota 9%, Missouri 43%, and Kansas, of course, 78% short to very short on subsoil. So so far the Midwest looks okay. There's some red flags being up there for Iowa, but it's not enough to really, pull the market higher, obviously, as we see corn and beans just kind of bumping along at recent lows. For corn, old crop stocks are very tight. The prospect of a big new crop is certainly there, and getting the crop in early into good conditions sets the stage for good production. Unless you run into hot and dry conditions, which clearly is possible. We've had this drought lingering in the Central Plains for, over a year. It wouldn't take much for that to shift into the Western Midwest. The heat over the Pacific Northwest has really wreaked havoc on wheat there. I think that's a long way for that high pressure ridge to shift over to the Midwest, but I think it's just worth noting that Iowa kind of got caught up in the dry conditions last year, but we had such good crops all around it, it just made up for Iowa. But you can't continue to have Iowa, trending dry and expect that the rest of the Midwest is going to be able to make up for it year after year. So, we're just watching this. And again, we don't see any major trouble spots at this point, but we're just in the beginning stages of the growing season, and it's always skittish at this time of year. Getting back to wheat, here we are, we're in early May. Well, we're actually mid-May at this point, but the market rallied into the crop report. We had a bullish crop report. These are the kinds of formations and seasonal tendencies where the market tends to stall out. The market appears to be, not, it appear it's still strong, but it's really having trouble pushing above those old swing highs. And another thing, we're starting to see, major news feeds carry stories about the drought in the Central Plains and the poor winter wheat crop. Bloomberg carrying a story about that. When you start to see these stories hit the mainstream, usually you're at the end of the run. I just think that with the price action, with the time of year we're at, getting into the crop report, we've talked about this for weeks, that if the market's rallying into early May, usually you tend to see those highs stall out right around the crop report, and especially if you get a bullish crop report, which we got. So I think the market is just, it's at a time period where it's difficult to keep it going up. Harvest is just around the corner. Crop condition ratings have improved, so where are you going to get a bigger yield cut? We do have the crop tour going on. We'll see what shows up there, but I just think, with the rally that we've had, this is presenting some selling opportunities, at least for now. I think eventually the market does take out this resistance, but it's probably going to be on the SEP and the DEES contracts that this happens. Wait for harvest to get behind us. I think that wheat supplies are tight enough here in the United States that we do take that next leg up. And it gives us this very well-defined trading range. Once we break above that, it gives us a well-defined measuring point, and that we just project it on up from the low that we saw here a couple weeks ago to these resistance points on the upside. You just take that, project it up. That becomes your target. I think eventually we do take that out, but it's hard to envision that headed into harvest. So I do expect the markets will pull back. We'll probably see our harvest lows early, right around mid-June instead of mid-July. It's not going to be a big crop, so we'll get harvest over fairly quickly. And then I think the market focuses more on corn and beans anyway, but I do think that eventually we take it out because wheat stocks are just too tight to stay down in this price level. When you look around the rest of the northern hemisphere, of course, we're looking at Canada. If it stays dry there, that's going to help support your higher quality wheats of hard red winter wheat and hard red spring wheat. Europe looks fine. The Black Sea looks fine. Russian spring wheat areas are trending dry, so that might have an impact, but Russia doesn't export spring wheat. It does make their own domestic production drop a little bit, but the exportable supplies come out of the southern region of Russia, and that region looks fine. They've had very nice rains, as has Ukraine. So I don't see any major trouble spots showing up there. It really is North America where your trouble spots are. And again, I think that once we get harvest behind us for hard red winter wheat, it does remove some of the pressure for this market to finally take out these significant resistance levels, which I think will happen probably as we work our way into the normal seasonal highs of early October, would be my guess. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.